you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Folks, Christmas was not just a historical event with a message wholly unrelated to those that read it. See, sometimes you can read things and you can say, well, that was nice. Or if you're reading something that you've done in your past or somebody wrote you, remember this, it's related to you. But I want you to understand today, when you read in Luke, this is not wholly unrelated to you. You see, it is a personal message from a personal God to you. Okay? It reveals something about you. You see, there's a special blessing in the Christmas message which is often missed by many. The birth of Jesus is not simply an interesting fact of history and wholly unrelated to this present life. Christmas has to do with you. And when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the personal importance of his coming was emphasized. And here's what the angel said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto everybody, for unto you, how about that? Is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ Jesus. Unto you is born a Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Heavenly Father, right now, thank you, God, for the presence that we feel in this house. God, I want you to speak to every heart here today. Hallelujah. God, speak to your, God, to your people in a mighty way. Lord, use your servant, Lord, to bring your message here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. My message title is Christmas Was Meant for You. Christmas was meant for you. Have you ever thought about Christmas this way, folks? That Christmas was meant, say, for me, for you. That it was for you, Jesus was born. It wasn't just a message for shepherds. It wasn't just a sign for three wise men. God sent his son into this world. He sent him to become your Savior. There is a personal touch to the Christmas message today. And this is what I want you to understand and leave here with. This is for me. This is a personal touch for each and every one of us here today. See, you were in mind. You were on his mind, folks, that Christmas morning. It was for you that Jesus came. And folks, Jesus did not come to be the inspiration of sacred art. Jesus did not come to be the theme of many carols and songs and Christmas cards. Jesus did not come to be merely a good man or a great teacher. Jesus came specifically to be your Savior, to save you from your sins. In John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, if our greatest need, folks, had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then God would have sent an economist. Amen. But if our greatest need had been pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But folks, our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. Can you worship Him right now? You see, Jesus was the sacrifice for our sin. He died on the cross for you. Amen. He paid the price so that you and I can be reconciled with God. Amen. So Christmas, I want you to understand, today is a personal message from a personal God who loves you with all of his heart. You see, the angel said to the shepherds after Jesus had been born in Luke 2:11, he said, a Savior has been born to you. You see, it is a short little phrase, but it is huge in what it means for you and for me. Folks, God, why did an angel say a Savior? Why did the angel just say a baby? He said a Savior. Why didn't he just say there's a baby born? A Savior, folks, implies something, doesn't it? It implies someone needs to be saved from something, right? So what would that be? And who is it for? Well, the angel says that he is Christ the Lord. The word Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his title. Come on. It's not his last name, it's his title. The word Christ isn't Jesus' last name. You see, it's the Greek word from the word Messiah. And the Messiah was the one who was going to come and save his people. But save them from what? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, everyone has sinned. You, me, everyone. By sin, I mean that you've either done something God says not to do in the Bible, or you didn't do something God says to do in the Bible. Come on. You may not have sinned as badly as the next person. But the problem, folks, is that the standard isn't the next person. Right? The standard is God, and He is perfect. And because He's perfect, and we're sinners, we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the death, this is talking about, isn't just physical death, it's spiritual death. And it is eternity paying for your sins. Eternity. Folks, that's what each of us faces because of our sin. Because we've sinned, we face eternity, eternal death. So, folks, we face eternity and death because of our sins. It's what we deserve. If you have a job, you know what wages are. It's what we deserve for the work we do, right? Well, when we sin, this is what we deserve. An eternity paying for the price of our sin in hell. And I know that none of you came here today to hear about hell. Right? But unfortunately, in order to understand what heaven is about, you have to understand the other option. Amen? Now, the first part of what the verse says, the wages of sin is death. And then the next words is this, but. The word but, it's an important word. Because it lets you know that a contrast is coming up. Romans 6:28, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Come on. All right. Here's the scoop, folks. On our own, we deserve hell for our sins. But Jesus came so that we can escape that penalty. The reason Jesus came was to make it possible for you. For anyone who wants to be able to go to heaven. Jesus came as a savior for you. To save you from the penalty of your sin. He didn't just come as a good man. Spiritual teacher. A nice guru. Or anything like that. He came as your Savior. And he said that if you want heaven, that you have to go through him. Anybody want to go to heaven today? Three of you? Anybody want to go to heaven? Oh, six of you. Okay, anybody else? Will you raise your hands, people? All right. My goodness, I know it's morning yet, but I'm having fun. So if you want to go, John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the Savior. So what do you do with that? He's the Savior, folks. What do you do with that? I'll tell you what you do. You accept the gift. It's Christmas. You accept the gift. But the problem is that many people think in their mind, and he is still a little child in Bethlehem lying in the manger. Come on. Many people still think this way. It's Christmas. Jesus lying in the manger. But folks, that child today is grown up. And he is a great Savior. His name is Jesus. If you look at the birth of Christ, except for Herod and those trying to kill him, and the angels who were praising and magnifying God, and not many people paid a lot of attention to Jesus at first. We don't find a lot about the life of Jesus when he was a child. Not a whole lot. It says at 12 years old, he talked with the priest. He began preaching at the age of 30 years old. He's not a child anymore. And I don't serve a God that is lying in a manger or being hid from those seeking his life. You see, today, folks, I am serving a powerful, manly God in all his power and his glory. I serve a God that is able to seek and to save that which was lost. A God that is able to heal the sick and to open the blind eyes and to forgive people of their sins. A God that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, we are serving a great, big, wonderful, powerful God. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says all power in heaven and earth was given to him. And if you have a need, folks, he is a God that can still lift the burdens. He is a God that can open the doors for you today. A God who can stop any enemy that is coming against you. I know this ain't your normal Christmas message, but I don't care. I want people to know my God. Hallelujah. I want people to know that He is not lying in a manger anymore. Amen. He is a God that loves you and wants to bless your life and wants to help you, and He will meet your needs right where you're at. He's more than a child. He is the Savior of the world, and He was born for you. It was for you that Jesus was born. And when this child was born, the promise He made to Abraham was fulfilled. You see, the world would be blessed through this man. Thank God, folks, the world is blessed and still being blessed because of Abraham and his faith, because of the birth of a child that is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus went to the cross and gave His life voluntarily that you and I could have remission of sins. He is not wrapped in swaddling clothes anymore, folks. He is wearing the garments of a king. He came to you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And I am glad He accomplished that which He set out to do in Luke 2:10-12. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Amen. It was for you Jesus was born. Isn't it a joy to know Jesus Christ? Amen. See, Jesus was born. Amen. He lived 33 and a half years. But yet today, He is still bringing joy to people that will look upon Him, that will obey this Acts 2:38 gospel, and that will live for Him and worship Him. Jesus, folks, is a Savior. What a Savior. Someone who can save you. Hallelujah. He can do anything you need. If you believe, He is more than a child. He is God. He is my God. He is the God of the world. He is your God. And Matthew 8:23-27. And when He was entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. And the disciples came to Him and woke Him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And He said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye little faith?" Then He arose and rebuked the winds of the sea, and there came a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Jesus, folks, can save you from more than your sins. Amen. He can save you from a car accident. He can keep you safe on a ship, on an airplane. In these scriptures, the disciples are worried and they're upset. Why? Because of the storm. But all that He had to do, folks, all that He had to do was speak to the winds and the sea, and they obeyed Him. He's more than a baby in a manger. There is more ways to perish than you can think. He is a Savior of all. Amen. What manner of man is this? He is taking care of us, folks. I'm telling you, He is the Almighty God. There may be a storm coming to your house. It may not be like a storm on the sea, but thank God, He is God. He is more than a baby in a manger. He is your God. He is your Savior. And all He has to do is say, "Storm, cease to exist," and it will be gone. Amen. You see, He can bring us out of the miry clay. He can set your feet on a rock. Amen. He can bring us out of prisons and set us free. He can open the blind eyes. All over the world, folks, people want to celebrate the birth of Christ. But after that, they don't want anything to do with Him. And many will stand before Him on judgment that has celebrated His birth. And I ask you, What are you going to do with this man, Christ Jesus? It was for you that Jesus was born. Do you need a great calm in your life? He is the one who can bring a calm in you like never, no one ever has. Jesus Christ has rest for you and for me. In Matthew 8, 28 and 32, and he was gone, and he was come on the other side of the country of the Gadareans. There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. You see, no man was able to pass by because they were so wicked. Because two men possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, they said, the Bible says. But Jesus, no longer a babe and wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Son of God come by, folks. And he cast the devils, amen, out of these people. Amen, folks. When the devil comes to stare you in the eyes and can say, you can say to him, "Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, that Son of God, that mighty man, no longer a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Amen. And they will have to go. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. He has to go. Folks, we can overcome. He is no longer in a manger. Hallelujah. Look at him for what he is. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. You are going to have to answer to him one day. How do you see him today? Amen. Revelations 1, 7 and 8, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Amen. Revelations 1, 12 through 15, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps and golden girdles. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned it with the furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters." Jesus is not coming by the Virgin Mary anymore, folks. Amen. He came humble. He let them spit on him. He let them whip him. He let them mock him and nail him to a cross on Calvary. But this time, folks, he is coming in the clouds. Amen. He is the one that Romans 14, 11 says, "For it is written, as I liveth, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess God." He is going to be on the throne, and many will stand before him and say in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, folks, he is going to be the same one who says to the church, "Come up here," and we will rise to meet him in the air. And what is God to you today? Do you only think of him at Christmas or Easter or some special time? You need to serve God every day. You need to look at him as the only God, for there is no other. This is only the one plan of salvation. There is only one church and one way to be saved for the whole world. as we stand today. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What do you think of him today? He's no longer a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is your Savior. He is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is your God, the Almighty God, the Everlasting God. He's a mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. Whatever your need is today, he is here for you. Do you have a need here today? I know it's Christmas Sunday. We don't have service tonight. And God wants to know, am I your Savior? He will not force himself on you. This altar is open.